Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Chris Taylor back with us again. Those of you who have been listening to this show over the years, over the last couple of years at least, are well aware of Chris Taylor and the amazing discovery that his company, Great Bear Resources, is making. That is known as the Dixie Project up there in the Red Lake area of Ontario. It is really great to have a success return, and Chris certainly is doing a great job, he and his team. He's quick to give credit to his team. He has other great people working with him. Chris's background as a geologist is as a structural geologist, and certainly those skills have seemed to come in very handy with his company's success. Great Bear trades in Toronto, GBR. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol GTBAF. 49.2 million shares only, and I saw earlier today selling at $14. Actually, traded up to $15 in Canadian money, at least briefly today. Gives at $14.75, where I last saw it, it gives a market cap of around $725 million in Canadian money. Thanks for joining me again, Chris.
Great to speak with you again, Jay.
It's always good to have you with us, for sure, with all the success you're having. Chris, before we get started, I do want to tell my listeners who may wish to delve a little deeper than we're able to go into through this very limited time that we have, that your company, Great Bear, and Silvercrest Metals are going to be putting on a virtual event on June 18th. I think it starts at 4:30 New York time. And I want to tell my listeners that they can go and sign up for that by going to jaytaylormedia.com. Go there and click on a story at the top of the website, Two Great Gold and Silver Discovery Stories, and then read more. Click on the read more and then sign up for that, Chris. And I don't know if you want to just talk, give us 30 seconds to talk about that event.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. You know, Chris and I, Chris from Silvercrest, the other Chris, we'll be talking about some important metrics in the current metals investment market, some of our personal experiences. It should be a good general discussion, certainly not something where we'll just talk about our own companies. It should be broadly applicable. So Silvercrest is the other one of the other leading exploration companies that have made excellent discoveries and made their shareholders a lot of money. So we thought it would be a little bit more informative than just Chris and I getting into a boxing ring together and seeing who has the best hands. So this should be more informative for the viewership and or listenership in general.
I know both of you, both of you, Chris's, and both of you are not the the kind of duke it out types, but very fair and complimentary towards others when it's due. That's for sure. Chris, your story has really kicked it up a notch or two. I mean, you just keep on one great drill intercept after another. It keeps hitting the market. You've had some of the highest grades yet recently, and the deepest hole yet. Intersected, went through the LP zone all the way over into your other more traditional Dixie hinge, Dixie limb zones. It's just amazing. But I'm wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about your program this year, what the objectives are, and then talk about what you've learned so far through this drill program.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. Effectively, with the size of target that we're dealing with, it takes hundreds and hundreds of drill holes to be able to define something this big. And that's principally because the target that we have, we've got drill holes into it for over 11 kilometers. Now, that it's a huge number. If you think that the average gold zone in the world is 100 meters or less, maybe a couple hundred meters long, you're dealing with something which is like more than an order of magnitude larger. So what that means is that the hundreds of drill holes that we're applying this year, I believe, in 2020, we have another 185 drill holes that will be completed by year end. That's just to give us a basic sampling of the shallow surface along about 5 kilometers strike length of this target. And that should give us a pretty good idea of the grade distribution, the size, and the physical dimensions off the middle of the system. Of course, it goes nowhere near testing all the various zones on the project or expanding down to the reasonable depths. Most of our neighbors have mined down to 1.5 to 2.5 kilometers depth on the major deposit. So I would expect ours to also go a lot deeper. But this initial look in 2020 is going to be a panel of drill holes between surface and about 500 meters along about 5 kilometers of strike length.
Yeah, and Chris, you have two different kinds of mineralization there. You have the traditional narrow vein, high grade that has been known in the Red Lake District. It was a company maker for Goldcorp, essentially. These are marvelous deposits. This is the first thing that you discover there. And then you came up on this LP zone, this LP fault zone, a real wide, more high-grade disseminated deposit that you are making some comparisons. I've heard you do it several times in the past to the great Hemlo Gold deposit discovered in Ontario in the late 1980s. I remember it very well. Can you talk, perhaps to the extent you're able to at this stage, compare the grades and dimensions of your LP fault deposit with that of the Hemlo?
Yeah, thanks, Jay. This is Hemlo is the closest geological analog to what we found at the LP fault. In Hemlo, it is a monster of a deposit. It's one of the largest ones in the province of Ontario. It's produced over 23 million ounces of gold so far. It's still in production under the stewardship of Barrick, the big giant gold company. Hemlo is effectively 90% of the gold that we've produced is from about 2.5 kilometers of strike length. And the average width and grade would be about 8 meters of about 8.5 grams per ton. So if you multiply them both, you get a number product of about 60 gram meters, 65 gram meters. So you have a big blob of mineralization that tends to be very continuous along that 2.5 kilometers strike length. What we have at the LP fault at the Dixie Project with Great Bear is hosted by the same type of rocks, but the physical footprint of mineralization that we've drilled off already is larger than what you see at Hemlo. I can't tell you right now, Jay, that we have 20 million ounces of gold. Nobody knows yet how much gold we have. But the point being, if you have to make an apples-to-apples comparison, you're comparing at least 5 kilometers of strike length off this core of the system within an 11-kilometer gold system at the Dixie Project versus that sort of 2.5 kilometers long that hosted over 20 million ounces at Hemlo. So as we drill and begin to build up a high-definition view of what we have at the LP fault, you have to compare. If Hemlo was an average of about 8 to 8.5 meters wide of about 8 grams, some of the really good mineralization that we've just drilled recently, I'll just quote a highlight hole, like 30 grams per ton gold over 12.5 meters or 30 grams per ton gold over 20 meters with it a wider interval of 15 grams per ton gold over 45 meters and projected right to surface. So, I mean, like, it's very exciting. The numbers that we're generating right now in terms of the higher grade subzones along the LP fault are comparable to that really high grade. It was called the high-grade zone discovery at the Red Lake Gold Mine, and that made Goldcorp into a multi-billion-dollar company under the stewardship of our shareholder, Rob McEwen. He found this high-grade zone at a kilometer vertical depth. There was basically nothing from surface down to about 800 meters depth, and then they found this very high-grade mineralization, very similar to what we just drilled at surface on the Dixie Project. So I think the market is beginning to understand the significance of having as much high-grade gold as what we've just found, but going right to surface. If in the past these types of discoveries have made big deposits and company-making deposits, I think the market's beginning to understand that Great Bear certainly has that potential at Dixie.
No, I think it certainly would seem to. Now, Chris, what I would really like to know, I know you're doing a lot of infill drilling, and you're focused on that 5 kilometer stretch there. That of, I think you identified 11 kilometers. But right now, for the sake of establishing a resource and starting to get some sense of the economics of this thing, you're doing work on that 5 kilometers. When do you think you might have your first maiden resource from this section?
I would imagine, Jay, that it'll be sometime during next year. And I don't know the exact time yet. The major impediment that we have is just sheer size. It takes hundreds and hundreds of drill holes to drill off something this big. The other one is that we keep finding more gold. And every time that you find a new zone or something else, you want to take the drill rig and dedicate some additional drilling to that to figure out what it is. And that means the more zones we find, the bigger it gets, the longer it takes to put together that initial resource. What we do, however, which almost nobody does in the industry, is every drill hole into the LP fault is published freely online by Great Bear. The locations of the holes and all the highlighted intervals can be downloaded off of our website, and anybody in the world can figure out, if they can do their own calculations, how much gold we might have. Now, we do that because on a discovery like this, your best friend is really complete transparency. You
sure.
want the market to see the deposit as you do, and you want them to be able to run their own back-of-the-envelope math on it themselves. And for us, I think that's where I see a lot of traction forming with the company, is the various bank analysts and mining researchers and other analysts in the world are all doing these sort of calculations at Great Bear, and they're coming up already with estimates sort of in the 5 to 10 million ounce range if you read all these independent reports. And they think the upside could be even greater than that, which is absolutely phenomenal for this LP zone. It didn't even exist until a year ago when we put the first holes into it. And already they're seeing this potential for these very big deposits to be forming there.
Yeah, it's a temptation for some companies that don't have the kind of lateral extension and consistency that you have there to maybe focus on one vertical drill hole that's magnificent, but it doesn't always work out that those kind of events or those kind of discoveries are economic. So what is so impressive mm-hmm. here, Chris, is a continuity that you're seeing along that Dixie, along that LP fault. I want to ask you about the Dixie Limb and Dixie Hinge zones then, too. Those are pretty significant discoveries in their own right. What is the thinking of the company in the future with regard to those?
Well, that's a great point, Jay. It's one of these things where I think even without the LP fault discovery, the really big one that's like Hemlo, we still would have had a nice high-grade Red Lake-style high-grade vein system in the Dixie Limb and the Hinge. And there's a whole bunch of targets like that across the project that we haven't had a chance to explore yet, but I assume that there's good exploration upside there as well. So you would have been looking at something comparable to some of our neighbors. I mean, for instance, one of the companies nearby is Pure Gold Mining. They've got,
yes.
I think it's about 1.5 million ounce reserve in the ground. So that 1.5 million ounces, I think, is getting them a market cap of about $500 million. They're further down the road in terms of actually building a mine than we are. But it shows you that on a per ounce basis, I mean, their ounces of gold in the ground are worth something like about $300 an ounce. So mm-hmm. I think that the Dixie Limb and the Hinge Zone, these Red Lake style zones that we have right beside the other one, are going to add significant value, especially over the long term. Like, should our project go through mine development and production and all this, these zones are so close together, they're very likely to be all developed within the same mine plan. And being able to add consistently high-grade mineralization from these satellite Red Lake-style zones, it's all compatible. It looks like the same sort of visible gold, free gold in the rock, in all the various zones. They should all be compatible. My background is mining. I'm just making an opinion statement here, but they look to be the same mineralization. I think it would all process together, and I think that would add a lot of value over the long term.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, you're in Red Lake. I mean, it's not as if you're in some remote area. You've all of the infrastructure you'd want to have, you would need to have. So that is a very big plus as well. And then, Chris, have you done any work at all on metallurgy? It's my understanding it's a relatively simple story, but I don't know. Have you done some work there on that?
Yeah, in fact, it's quite simple here. Effectively, it's visible gold and free gold. So the gold at some deposits, and it's something investors should be concerned with in some stories, is that they need to see if the gold can be actually extracted from the rock. It's possible in other deposits around the world to drill off good gold numbers, but not to be able to free the gold from the rock at the end of the day when it comes to mining. Maybe you recover 60% of the gold or something like this. in the Red Lake area, and I would expect this to be the case with ours because petrographically it looks the same, and we've had independent workers doing this work. But in the Red Lake area, it's generally 95-96% recoveries of the gold. So basically the gold values that you report are the gold values that you get back out at the end of the day during processing, and ours looks to be the same. And we're doing all this metallurgical work now on the various zones, and the petrography, these are thin section views of the rock, shows that it's free gold in the rock. It's not encapsulated within sulfides or some other mechanism that makes it difficult to extract. Here, it looks like the gold will come out freely like it does in most of the other deposits in Red Lake.
Tremendous. That's really terrific. The story, it's hard to believe. Chris, almost everything seems to be going perfectly well, and it's hard to believe it because it's usually not the case in this industry. But just with about a minute left here then, what should people be looking forward to? I mean, I guess just constant drill results, right? How often do you put them out?
Well, unfortunately, the last week we've put out two results in 1 week. That's unusual. That's a caveat. I know. That's unusual. But we should have fresh results out roughly every 2 weeks to a month going forward for the next. To be frank with you, we have enough money in the treasury now, over $50 million Canadian, to keep drilling nonstop, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, for the next 2 years. So we should have regular steady streams of news coming out. And as we drill off the big grid, as we drill more on the Dixie Limb and the Hinge zones, as we do regional exploration, it should be an exciting mix of that continuity of the high-grade story along the LP, and also the potential for other new things to come along. So I think it keeps it fresh and interesting for us as explorers and for our investor base as well as the project grows to fruition.
Well, very good. Thank you so much again for being with us, and it's always a pleasure hearing the good news that you seem to have constantly. I'm waiting for a time when there's something negative, but let's not do that. We have enough negative stuff going around here outside of the gold mining industry, that's for sure. So why do I look for negative stuff? Chris, thank you so much for being with us.